I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that wants to know, Ellie, do you remember straight people?
Sorry, I forgot the thing I was supposed to say after. Hold on, ready?
They had a good run.
Yeah, there you go, Dot. That's your line. All right, we buried the lead, but here we go.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from East Coast, I'm Ellie Rigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We are very excited because this week we are in New York City for The Flame live at 54 Below. On September 15th, which is this upcoming Thursday, you can get your tickets at bit.ly/theflame54 all the way up to the day of the show. Or you can get tickets for the live stream at bit.ly/theflame54 stream for all of you who can't make it to New York but just want to be there to support us and see the show, because we are so excited and we hope that you all can make it.
We also want to remind you that we have bonus Patreon-only episodes in Season 6 now. So if you want to check out our Patreon, get access to some of our secret bonus episodes. We have our first one came out with our Season 6 premiere launch. That was on Kissing Jessica Stein. We also have our next episode coming out next week. So you gotta get on there. You can find it at bit.ly/lespatreon. You want to hear all of these extra thoughts, I promise you. We are having a blast making them.
We also are putting together a super, super gay trip with Trova Trip. We want to know where you want to go. You can find that survey at bit.ly/lestrip. Wherever you all decide to go, that's where we will open up the trip to. So make sure you fill out that survey so you have a choice in where we travel to. And we're really excited. We've been waiting for a while to do a Les Hangout retreat of sorts. And Trove Trip is helping us make that happen. So can't wait.
In the greater Les universe, we want to let you know, highly relevant to today's episode, that there are some exciting movies coming out and we want to talk about Bros. Billy Eichner, rom-com. It's going to be great. It looks super duper gay. It stars one Dot Marie Jones you may have heard about. Mm-hmm. We should, you know, learn more from her soon. That would be just so, so amazing. So that's coming to theaters September 30th. We're super excited to see it. And we hope everyone's going to go check it out because it looks hilarious.
Also in the greater Les universe, the lesbian TikTok apocalypse is upon us. When I did a little lesbian news search, this came up way too many times. And I was like, what is happening? So basically, it's this theory that once one TikTok lesbian couple falls, the rest fall after.
And it's dominoes.
A huge breakup apocalypse. Oh, no. But also, I just feel like it cracked me up because for any of you listeners who are who are a bit older than the TikTok gays, it also goes all the way back to the YouTube gays because Shannon Beveridge, who has been in this like lesbian influencer sphere for like since she was a child. Like since I was a child.
Since we were all children.
Is also a part of this like Fletcher and her ex Shannon and Shannon's new girlfriend Becky with the song Becky's So Hot.
There's just been so much drama about it.
So
and
much
drama. I
don't
care if it's an apocalypse. I'm here for it.
We're here for any sort of TikTok lesbian drama. That's all.
All we're saying is be careful out there, lesbians.
There's TikTok, a lesbian. There's a TikTok apocalypse upon us.
There's a TikTok apocalypse. Okay, listen. I hesitate to say the sentence. Also, in the greater Les universe, Lauren Boebert, but question mark. But we have to go there because, as I'm sure many of you saw, she is responsible for a fantastic quote about how Biden is robbing Americans and using their money to fund Karen's daughter's degree in lesbian dance theory. And lesbian dance theory has been taking over in ways that both thrill and delight us. So
I'm curiously, what to you is lesbian dance theory?
Well, what isn't lesbian dance theory? Lesbian dance theory, I don't know if some of you have seen a previous podcast guest, Kate, who you may know as Girl with a Microphone, made a great Rosie O'Donnell College of Fine Arts lesbian dance theory video. I think everything is lesbian dance theory.
We are all lesbian dance theory.
I think what I want to know is where are like the you know, hard STEM science lesbian theory degrees as well? Because, you know, I mean, not all of us are cut out for dancing.
All dance theory is lesbian, but is all lesbian dance theory?
Is all lesbian theory dance?
I feel like for me,
that's what we're saying.
For me, lesbian dance theory is two women who only hold each other's faces and then they move their hips, but
great,
they're like
great.
It's also like the study of the planet.
I get what you're going for now. Okay, I'd like to revise my
lesbian
answer.
Dance theory is dance revolution.
I'd like to revise my answer. To me, lesbian dance theory is two lesbians who both go to a school dance without dates, but they sit on the side on the bleachers and watch other couples dance while touching pinkies with each other.
Lesbian dance theory is two lesbians back to back spinning or in a circle and never really seeing each other.
Lesbian dance theory is Tara and Willow flying at the bronze together.
Ah, that's fucking it. That's it. And with that, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 3 of season 6, Got Game. And we are joined by a very special guest today. You might know Dot Marie Jones for her 3 consecutive Emmy Award nominations as Shannon Beast on the mega hit Glee. She's also known for roles in both drama and comedy, including the Indie Spirit nominated feature Greener Grass and Universal's Bros, directed by Billy Eichner, coming out this fall. And she was honored to join the cast of Broadway musical Rock of Ages as the first woman to play the lead role of Dennis Dupree. Dot, Thank you so much for being here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you. What a bio. What a career. I will say I'm most interested in Dennis Dupree. That's freaking awesome.
Oh my God. That was probably the hardest thing I've ever worked on in my life.
Yeah. Me and Lee are both huge Broadway buffs. So
oh, nice.
I'm like, that's
that. Ellie's going to co-opt our whole episode now to just talk about Broadway.
No. But very, very cool.
It was the hardest thing and the most fun that I've ever worked on. Oh my God, I still can't believe I got to do it. I'm disappointed because the pandemic hit 2 weeks in. I was 2 weeks into my 6 week run. Then the pandemic hit. So I had like.
And it just shut down.
Would you ever go back? Like
I would
maybe
totally
not to that show,
back.
But
yeah.
Something else.
I would love to go back for something else. Maybe, you never know.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Now, yeah, right? Listen, as people currently working on a super queer musical, we are all for like just all the Broadway all the time. That's what we want. We want more like us and you on Broadway. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's put it out there and maybe it'll happen soon.
Yes. Wait, Dot, do you know the musical Six?
Have you heard of it? I don't.
Well, you should listen to it.
We're about to
I'm
rock
not even,
your world
I was not
whenever
do
you
this,
check
but
out.
I was just like, we'll be three of the queens and six. They're all like, they're all queens.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Love it.
Yes, it would be beautiful.
Can you imagine like an all gay six production?
I mean, it already sort of is, but yes.
Listen.
Yes, definitely.
Coming soon on a Should Have Been Gay,
six.
Broadway's Six.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But yes. But let's dive into more of your career, all the stuff you've done, Dot. We would love to talk to you a little bit about Glee to start, because I feel like, at least for me, that was a big like place where I first saw you. Mm. So like, what was your experience like being on Glee, just period?
It was life-changing for me. I mean, for my career and everything, and the Emmy nominations helped quite a bit. But just to be on something that was so hugely groundbreaking, I think, for every demographic, you know, and I think that's one thing that Ryan tried to hit was, you know, every demographic as far as, you know, gay, straight, bi, and then and we had the transgender character, but then at the end for Beast to transition in season six, that was like, I didn't know how to take it at first, to be honest. I didn't want to let the big girls down who, you know, with the whole thing with the domestic violence with Cooter and all that and everything mm-hmm. that Beast went through. I didn't want them, because it was like, she was always like the underdog and the superhero for the, you know, the big girls and, you know, that mm-hmm. they have trouble too. And so many people said, oh, she would have kicked Cooter's ass and all this stuff. And it's like, you don't know what somebody's going through at home. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have no, none of us know what somebody goes through at home. My big thing is I never want to offend anybody in any character that I'm playing or role that I'm doing. And I'll never do something that is disrespectful to women in any, I hope that I haven't, but I mean, I've turned down a few jobs where I thought they were not just stupid in the fact that somebody wanted to actually do some of the, it was a comic who thought he was pretty funny, but whatever. And I refused to do his show. I had done it once and it turned from this funny little skit into this disrespectful piece of junk. And I swore I'd never work with him again. And they wanted me to come back. And I said, absolutely not. So, but yeah. I mean, Glee was, I'm sorry, I got a little shiny there. But
you're good.
No, Glee was amazing on so many levels.
There's a couple things I want to talk about in what you just said. The first of them is like why, and I mean, not that Glee didn't do this, because obviously Glee had a number of characters with like all sorts of representation, like you were saying, but I think it is also why it's important to like have, so like you can't just have everything kind of shoehorned onto like one or two people, you mm-hmm. know, because then you do like, you feel like you're like, oh, am I losing the representation of one part of who Coach Beast was mm-hmm. to like show a different type of representation, and where does that leave you when you feel like you're in between these two things? Like, that's one thing. But I also think it, something else that you said that like stood out to me is you were saying like how groundbreaking it was, and I feel like you, the roles that you've played, like you've been in so many things, because obviously, you know, we want to get into to talking about Bros at some point too, that you have, like you get to play things in what is the like groundbreaking thing of the day? You know, like you have this career right. where you've gotten to see so much of that change and growth and like, you know, where we were then and where we've gotten since then. And I feel like we're probably going to come back around to that idea as well. So anyways, yeah, you've just gotten to, you're doing it all. You've done some cool stuff.
I'm trying. I started so late. I've only been doing this, well, it's a long time, but this is my 30th year.
Wow.
I started when I was 27. So, well, hell, I'm 58. So it's going to be 31 years. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, it's crazy. I still can't believe I get to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
And like Lee said, like, I love that you get to do this in so many different types of groundbreaking representation. I would love if you could talk to us a little bit about, like, because you said, like, you've been doing this for 30 years. Like, what's mm-hmm. the difference between the roles you were, like, getting called in for or auditioning for when you first started? And now you're like, okay, here's the landscape of TV and movies, and here's the types of roles I'm getting called in for now.
I think one of the big differences that I've noticed is, like, back in the day, it's like, And I always say this, I never had like some big coming out type of deal. I just was myself. And if you knew me, you knew my life. It's funny because now it's like the lesbian character, or the gay character, or any of those type of characters that back 30 years ago were like, oh, well, it was the tough chick. But then when you go to work, it's like, God, I don't even know how to say it. It was like a lesbian character, but then it was like, are you okay with that? And I'm like, and now it's like, hey, come on, we need you to play this dyke. Get in here. We need you to play that. And it's like, okay. And it's like, it took 30 years for them to go ahead and just say it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of skirting around what they really wanted and stuff. It's like,
yeah, you're just playing like a rough around the edges kind of gal.
Yeah.
An independent gal who doesn't need a man.
A no nonsense tough chick.
Yeah. She's got a biker vest. She's got opinions.
It's like, give me a freaking break.
But she's probably still straight under all of that.
Right,
yeah.
right. Exactly. It's so funny.
I love that.
She's just misunderstood, you know?
We do an entire like different segment on the show called Should Have Been Gay. And so like, because of that, it's like basically talking about those shows from even some, honestly, even some from like last year.
They still exist now. They
like
still
from a while ago that you're like, that character was clearly gay and they just didn't have the balls to say it. Right.
Exactly.
Like, so we're like, all right, that they were definitely gay. And like, let's talk about all the subtext of it. Now we're finding so much more where it's like just text like bros, which you're in, and which is like completely actively gay.
Oh my
god.
Like
not apologizing. Yeah.
It's so gay. No, it's hilarious. And it's such a, I cannot wait for September 30th for it to be out.
Yes. So it's starting, right? It's starting at a film festival and then coming out in theaters for everyone to see.
Toronto International Film Festival. It is premiering there. The following week is the New York opening, and then I believe it's the 28th is the LA opening, and then it opens everywhere on the 30th. So it's pretty exciting.
Awesome.
We're
excited.
Yeah.
It's such a long time coming, you know?
Oh,
it's crazy.
This is unrelated, but still, I just want to ask you this because you're saying it's such a long time coming. What are, like, this is really the first gay rom-com that's like widely distributed by a network, like in theaters, right?
Uh-huh.
But there have been in the past some other, like plenty of other gay cinema. So like, what are some of your favorites of those, like lesbian movies or gay movies, like from before this?
Oh God, I don't even know. I mean, I was thinking back to like the first gay character I ever remember seeing on TV, and it was Billy Crystal's character on Soap. You kids weren't even around then, but
we probably weren't. No.
I know.
Was Ellie alive?
Probably.
I know.
Wait, hold on. wait, I gotta find out if we were alive. So
that was in the 70s, honey. I don't think so.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
no.
Then no, neither of us were. No.
Little brat.
So what do you remember about that character? Like what was impactful about it?
Well, first of all, Billy Crystal is amazing in everything he does. And I was young, and just remembering, like, not that anybody like ever talked about it. Do you know what I mean? And it was always like the joke, like the gay thing or the gay thing or whatever. And it was always like the joke of the show. And it was, I don't know, it seemed, and I'm trying to remember, because it seems like it wasn't really about a sexuality. It was about like a silliness. Do you know?
I mean, and that's been the history of gay characters for a long time. Like, we talked about, like, well, actually, Cheers had a decent episode about, have you seen the Cheers episode where one of Sam's friends comes out? But there's still, like, a lot of, like, joking about it. But in the end, it's like, they do accept him. So there definitely has been a lot of, like, gay people being the butt of jokes.
Right.
Cinema.
Well, and I think exactly what you were just saying, Dot, of like being divorced from the sexuality aspect of it and kind of reduced down to like the stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
Because that's what you could get away with making fun of. Is
of
like
course.
No one, like, you're, you know, if you compare it to like stuff that we know is in Bros, right? Where
right.
you're like, yeah, you weren't going to show like, yeah, here's two gay dudes falling in love and making out on a, you know, on their picnic blanket or whatever. Like, you weren't going to see that. You were going to see a gay guy strutting about effeminately and
right.
you know, like, that you were sort of presenting the stereotypes that everyone understood what it meant, but you certainly weren't going to go there.
Yeah, right? It was more of a gesture than an actual visualization of them, you know. I mean, God forbid they hold hands, and it's like, I have friends that have said that, you know, when they were seeing the Elvis movie, and it the trailer played during the previews, and people were like booing, and people like told them to just get the hell out. It's really? It's 2021 or 22, whatever the hell it is.
And it is, because what's funny is like, it's still, it's not that doesn't happen now. You know, like, there are some, I mean, especially like network television, there's still a ton of, like, depending on what, you know, like, what time slot are you airing in and what network are you on, and like, how much will they shy away from, you know, like, we still see an awful lot of like, oh, it's here's a straight couple like straight up fucking on a desk, and then like, here are the two girls, they're like lying near each other in a bed and like their knees are touching and they might kiss a little, and you're like, okay, sure, like,
right,
okay, fine. You know, like, that does still happen, but it is something that's, it's so hard, I think, to explain to like the younger generations who have grown up with streaming services and things like that, where it's like the sense of those is so different, where you're like, no, but like, we didn't have, like, Netflix didn't exist,
right?
Like, HBO Max wasn't around, like, all you had was Fox primetime, you know, like, all you had was the CW, and it was a different landscape in terms of, like, you know, you started out with like
the three major, the three major ABC, CBS and NBC, and then Fox came, and that was, I mean, it was risky when they had Married with Children on it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
It's been it's been a lot of change, I think, in
for sure.
But that's why it's so fun to see, like, because Ellie was saying, right, like, Bros, I mean, I was trying to think, because I know you just said that, Ellie, and I was trying to think, like, there has to be another one, right? Like, there's been another gay rom-com, like, there has to be. And all I kept coming up with is like gay romantic dramas, maybe, right? Like, I'm trying to think of like big studio theater releases where it's like, okay, sure, you'll get like Call Me by Your Name, or you'll get like Portrait of a Lady on Fire, right? Like, you'll get like those kinds of things, like Ammonite, but you're not getting the, like, where's the gay
love,
like,
story that, I mean,
yeah,
the had through happy, line,
like, comedy, like, full on, like, hardcore rom-com, like,
right,
just
that have not been on streaming
cheesy
services.
Goodness,
that's why
that's
it's like the big, I think that's why that's such a big deal of like that actual, like, in cinemas.
Exactly.
Yeah, we get them on streaming, release. Right? Like, we've had some on streaming services. That's that all, everyone I could come up with. I couldn't think of one that was like a big,
and
like,
I think too, I mean, to hear that people are booing the trailer is also like, it is like how far we've come, but also like, this still is a risk to put in a theater, right?
Yeah, but I have a feeling it's going to be, it's going to do well. I just know it is.
Oh, it has to. It has to.
It's too damn funny. It's like, take your head out of your ass and just watch the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 If you're going to do that, like, what a smart move to do it with Billy Eichner, who, like, you're just going to get, like, all the gays, like, all right? the queers are going to rally around Billy Eichner, right? I'm like, all you need is, like, one gay dude who's famous for the Let's Go Lesbians gif, and then you're golden. Like, right. You've got all of us.
Right.
Well, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about, I know this, like, this does make sense to me. From what you said,
like, I'm excited for that segue.
There's this hilarious scene that starts the trailer where everyone at the table is like fighting about like Bisexual Awareness Week,
right,
Lesbian Month,
uh-huh.
And it just cracked me up because I do feel like, I mean, I'm glad we're talking about a gay romantic comedy on a lesbian podcast because like there are so many times that we as a community are like. The L's are fed
bitterly
into G's,
divided.
And like everyone's just like fighting each other.
It was hilarious, and it's some Jim Rash is unbelievably funny, and a lot of it was improv. But the gist of it was that, and it's like, oh my god, it was hilarious because it's like everybody's fighting for that visibility and the notoriety, and it's like nobody said a goddamn thing. You know, and I'm talking about these people that are my friends, supposedly.
Yeah. But yeah. It's such a relatable scene, I think, to like, everybody, especially queer people, like anyone who's in like social media spaces or like just kind of in the network of stuff. That's so realistic, you know, of like, because we are like, it's just what happens when you have like communities who are all kind of fighting for the same scrap so often that you're just like, no, mine,
exactly.
You know, like I want my week and I want my month, get out of here, like what do you mean you didn't wish me a happy bisexual pride week, like how dare you, you know, like
exactly. That was our 8 minutes.
exactly. And it's like, and it's so real, like it happens. That happens, like right in ways that it happens these days, where I feel like that is sort of a new part of the landscape than it used to be before. But it's like, but when you do it like that, and it's like it's tongue in cheek, and it's poking fun at like a thing that we all kind of know and see and are aware of, and it's just like, yes, this is the humor. This is the humor that we want. This is the rom-com that I want. You know, like it doesn't have to be. I'm not going to like boycott it because it's two guys. Like, no, I want it.
Everybody's
I want
in it. That's the
yes.
best part.
Everybody's in it.
I love too. I'm like, I also read online that every single one of the principal characters are members of the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
Even the people who are playing straight characters.
Yes, exactly.
Which just like really flips things on its head, right? Where it's like, historically, we've been like, oh, well, if you're gay, then like you're going to be, you can only play the gay roles.
Right.
Or they would have cast an entire cast of straight people to play all these gay characters.
Yeah.
Which is usually what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So also, how was that for you working with like on set? Everyone's just a part of the community.
Oh, God. We're a bunch of hot messes, but we had, I can't even say it enough. We had so much fun. I mean, all of us were just proud to be a part of this thing that, you know, it could be very huge. And I pray for Billy's sake. And Judd Apatow was the producer. I mean, come on, you can't get better than that man. And Universal, I can't wait for it to finally get out in theaters.
It's so, I feel like that's something we always say, because I think we've seen you at Klexicon back in the times when we'd made it out there and stuff. And it's like, it's the thing we always say after events like Klexicon too, is like, when you just get a whole bunch of queer people in a space, like it's a different thing. It's hard to put into words what it's like to be in a space where you're just like, ah, my people.
Yeah.
My people, you know,
you
like
just
it
have
is...
like a shared baseline, I feel like.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yes. We all understand these things.
And yeah, yet, and there's like, also that comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, that comfort zone of like, you know, the years of being the character or the gay character and actually being gay. It's like, you feel like this judgment. And it's like, there was not one ounce of judgment out there or when you're at like Klexicon and stuff. And then also, you know, on Bros, it was pretty awesome.
It is. It's something that I think it's like, it's hard to put into words sometimes, like to straight people, the sense of like what it's like to spend so much of your time like being the other in most of the spaces that you're in. And so as soon as you enter a place where like you're just not anymore, you know, and you're like, it's just so freeing. It's so freeing to just kind of be in a place where you're like, oh, yeah, I don't have to worry about like, oh, do they know? Do I need to like do how do I out myself in a way that's like clear enough, but like doesn't like throw off what we're talking. How do you work this in? Do they know? If they don't know, how are they gonna you know, it's like just freeing yourself from all of that and all of the like, oh, am I gonna make a reference that somebody's not gonna understand? Am I gonna make a joke that they don't get? Am I gonna like,
oh my god, this is so random but not sorry.
Okay.
Yes. You're talking about making a joke that people don't understand. This is not necessarily,
oh no, what'd you do, Ellie?
Necessarily gay, but the other day, I sing in a wedding band. It's me and a bunch of men, and one of those men is gay. So it's like one gay man, me, the token lesbian, and then like all these straight men.
Okay.
And the gay man, Tyler. Uh-huh. Starts making jokes about the subs, like subwoofer.
Uh-huh.
Like, but he's like, oh yeah, like subs. And one of the guys there, he's like, I don't get it. Like, what's a sub? And so we had to explain to him what subs and DOMs are.
Oh, and, no.
And he was like, well, my wife bosses me around a lot, so I think she's the DOM and I'm the sub.
My God, he wasn't even talking about that.
And we were just happy. And I just like, just like where you're like, I really thought, I never thought no one would know that. Do you know what I mean? Like there's certain things that you're just like, we talk about these things so often. Or like, it just like feels like, oh yeah, that's a joke we make.
Right.
That this straight man like had no clue. And now he's like obsessed. He's like, I learned a new word and I'm so excited.
I'm going to go tell my wife she's a dom. Yeah. And you're like, oh no, sir, please.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But that's like, there's a scene in Bros where they do that too, right? Where they're like something about.
Oh, the bottom dance.
They're like the two bot. Yeah. The bottom
kids
dance,
get up
right?
And do
like
the bottom.
Yeah. Two bottoms, the bottom dance.
That's what it felt like, honestly. So like so many things. I mean, I haven't even seen the movie and so many things in the trailer.
Yes.
I already
are so
was
relatable.
Like, I relate to this.
I hope that y'all like it because it's, I went, and, you know, my wife and I, Bridget, we went and saw it here in town. They had a small screening for some of the cast and our reps. And, you know, you never know what they're going to put together because you do so many takes and you never, I always like to go to see which one they're going to use. Mm-hmm. And the son of a bitch, it's funny. It is so funny.
I mean, the trailer
itself was already cracking me up.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like, so
incredible.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
What are some of your favorite parts of the film?
No spoilers.
The
but.
Board meetings are some of my favorite because, like, when we're in the boardroom and, like, where you saw us all at the desk and stuff, it was like herding cats because we got in there and we just started, you know, having fun and going off and. And then we'd have to come back. They'd say, okay, Lena, let's get in the lines. Because we were just, I mean, I it's hard to pick because there's so many scenes that are hilarious. And a few of the folks that are, you know, the cameos that are in it are amazing people and actors and actresses. And it's just amazing. I was so excited to, I didn't get to see her the whole month we were filming, but Amanda Bears, who was on Married with Children, she played Marcy Darcy. Amanda's in it. And I did a bunch of Married with Children back in 94, 95, and I had not seen her since then. And
that's
so we,
oh, wow.
We caught up here in LA at the screening. Oh, just, she's so good and stuff. Oh my God. It's just, there's so many parts that are great that, I don't know. You got to pick your own because there's at least a baker's dozen.
Yeah.
It feels like the kind of movie we're going to get to watch more than once. That's what I feel
like. I hope
right?
so.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back after a quick ad break.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it.
Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Like, we talk about this all the time, right? Like, there are gay movies that, like, I love, and they're beautiful and incredible. But, like, you have to be in the right mood to watch it.
Right.
You know? Like, you have to be like, I want to sit down and, like, watch a film. Like, that's what I'm here for right now. Like, I want to dig in and, like... And then there's movies where I'm just like, where's, you know, where's something that I just want to watch... Like all the time, just because it's gonna crack me up every time. Like, so we mentioned we just had Mary Holland on, and like we had Mary Holland on to do a Should Have Been Gay on Mean Girls. And I'm like, listen, there's never a time in my life where I will sit down and watch Mean Girls and like not enjoy myself. Like, it's just classic. It's classic, good, funny humor. Like, it's just gonna be good, right?
Right.
And I'm like, that's what I feel like this movie, I can tell from the trailers. I'm just like, man, this feels like a movie where you're just like, I'm in a crappy mood tonight and I just wanna like sit down and have a glass of wine and like enjoy myself. And that's gonna be like, this will be on the list of options of things to put on. And like, gay people need that.
It'll be at the top.
We need
of
more
options.
Of those movies.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I think so.
Exactly. Because when you're in a funk or something, you just wanna watch something that's gonna make you laugh and forget about, you know, feeling like crap. And it's like,
yes,
yeah, it's a good time.
That's what I want.
And I love Billy.
That's all I want.
Yeah, everybody in it was lovely, and most of our crew was family.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty awesome.
I just like think about, we've talked about this before on the show,
uh-huh,
but like and Lee's like Lee saying, some like we've had just like a lot of like very heavy gay things, like a lot mm-hmm. of gay films have been surrounded by like really difficult times coming out,
right,
or unsupportive family or
some tragedy,
some sort of tragedy. And I just think like we deserve that escape,
mm-hmm,
like we deserve that, like just lightness,
exactly,
you know. So I don't know, like I'm curious like what you think about that. Like, have you've only been to the screening with the cast, but like,
right,
have there been any, maybe even previously from Glee, have there been any people who reached out to you saying like, when I was in a tough time, like this thing was my light, you know?
I can't even tell you how many people, and it's men, women, kids. I mean, especially when I was going through the domestic violence, and you know, I always say, be careful how you use your words, and because you never know how they're going to affect somebody. And one of the things was, is when Beast was going through the domestic violence, and to actually have, like, when that happened, I had several women contact me or, you know, send me messages and stuff and say that show actually gave them the courage to get out of a abusive relationship. And you think, oh my God, that, and thank God that they watched it, you know, or would they mm-hmm. still be in it?
Yeah.
And then like kids, like a lot of kids is like, you know, the show is my life, and it opened up conversation between me and my parents, me and my grandparents, me and my siblings. It's like,
mm-hmm,
it's overwhelming. And then when I did transitioning, oh, it makes me want to cry. I never cried so much as when I worked on that show. When we did the transitioning episode and the whole choir that's behind me singing, mm-hmm, they were all trans men and women.
Wow.
200 wow, men and women from across the states were all trans, and they came to be on the show to be, and they were crying, and they were like, I never thought I'd see myself on TV. And they weren't talking about them actual selves, but
yeah,
they're a trans person.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, it was heavy. It was very heavy and very emotional. And it was amazing. And more than anything, it was amazing to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is like, I mean, that's most of what we talk about on the show is like mm-hmm. the impact that media truly has on people.
Right.
And particularly the LGBTQ community. And it is. It's so impactful.
Well, and it's funny, too, because it's like we do. I mean, like Ellie and I, especially with this podcast, because like, you know, we do all the time, like, what's your quick spiel of what you talk about? And it's like we kind of always fall back on like two things, and they're the same thing, but you say it two different ways. And it's like one of them is like, oh, we talk about like shared queer experiences, like, you know, things like life stories, stuff like, you know, things about our community that like we all go through. And then the other way we say that is like, yeah, we talk about queer rep in the media. And like, to me, those have always felt like kind of the same thing, right? Because it's like so much of, especially in the society that we all live in today, like so much of understanding yourself is seeing yourself. It makes such a big impact. And I think we have like existed, like Ellie and I especially, like we have grown up and grown through like such a huge change in the narratives that we get to see and the ways that we get to see ourselves represented and reflected in the things that we watch, you know?
Right.
And like, it's incredible. Like, it's incredible to see how far we've come. It's incredible to just like get to see what it means and how much it has changed. Like, even just the queer community in a general sense, like how much our community has changed and grown over the last, you know, like 30, 40 years of change in media. Because, yeah, it's like because people couldn't have imagined like seeing a trans character on TV not that long ago, you know, or at least like not seeing one who was being accepted, celebrated, like,
right.
You know, you might have seen, OK, sure, like we've had the Boys Don't Cry narratives. But like, that's not
right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, it's like it's a beautiful, well done piece of cinema. Sure. And it's important to tell those stories. But like that falls into the again, like you got to be in the right space to sit down.
Because that's
watch
a heavy
that.
One.
And like that's heavy. And that's not like, you know, when trans people want to see
Moonshine.
Themselves represented.
Nice.
Nothing like a good messenger.
But it's like when you want to see yourself represented, like that's not always what you're going for, you
right,
know. It's
exactly.
Like sometimes you want something else.
Well, yeah.
You want something. You want to just see like the ins and outs of your life. You want to see things that like you that feel relevant and that feel like. And that's why I think that's what we're saying is like when you watch things like the trailer for Bros and you're just like, oh, my God, yes. Like gay people bickering with each other over like who gets the right rep this week. And like, you know, gay people making fun of straight people for like, no, go back to being uncomfortable with us. Like, I hate this.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Like, yeah, there's so much. I really cannot wait to see this movie. Like,
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be so good.
Okay, sorry. I know we do want to talk about Golden Arm a little bit. Can we talk about it?
Yes. Okay, so in your real life, you were a professional arm wrestler. Is that correct?
Yes. I competed for almost 16 years. I won 15 world titles.
Wow.
What is that? I have no clue what the world of of international arm wrestling is. Like, what is it?
It's, you know, there's a standard table like in the movie. Have you girls seen Golden Arm?
No, I have not yet.
What?
I know.
It is so funny. Betsy
Sidero. I
want to
see it so badly, and I'm so sorry.
And Mary are hilarious. There's a standard table a regulation table that you use. And there's refs and, you know, it's got to be all fair and a lot of broken arms because people get themselves in a broken arm position. And I broke two arms in the 15 years or almost 16 Oof. Years that I competed. And it's a
so
horrible
So is that
feeling.
Like a good ratio, though, to only have broken two arms?
Yeah, I think. And it could have been worse. It could have been mine. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you never broke your own arm.
No. I broke my own nose.
Oh my! With your own arm?
Yeah, because when you're hooked up with somebody arm wrestling, it's like when the ref starts you, they say go and you jump. Well, I was going up against this woman who was she was a big girl, and I was a big girl, and we slipped, and I caught my nose, and I laid my nose over, and it was stuck, and so I like popped it, and it just. Like a faucet. It was disgusting.
Oh, but, my God.
God, that was so long ago. That was in the 90s, kids.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's like, I've seen so many different, I've seen a compound fracture where the bone comes through the skin on the forearm, where these two guys were going, and one of them broke his arm, and it was horrible. And then it's like, it's like you're pushing against the wall and then the wall's gone. It's like that kind of feeling, and you're holding onto that person's hand and you're thinking, holy shit. And it's like you hold onto their arm until they get it together, because it's an awful sound. Sounds like a 2x4 breaking.
Whoa.
I'm like, it's just gonna, bleh, it's fine.
But is it like it happens in like stadiums and bars? Like, what's the like setting of these?
Well, it depends. Like, where were we? We were in New York, across from the Brooklyn Bridge out on one of the bays. And we had a world title there. We did it up on Pier 39. A couple of years, we had the world championships when UConn Jack sponsored him. But up in, Lee, you know where Petaluma's at.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, Ellie? It's like,
I don't,
it's like north of San Francisco, probably, what, an hour? Maybe?
Yeah, from the city.
Yeah. And so that's where they used to have the world championships when I first started. It used to be on Wide World of Sports back in the day. Lynn Swann and Diana Nyad were the commentators at my first world championships when I was 19. So that was
crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was. But
so you don't think you're going to get back in the ring anytime soon?
Honey, I am too old. I have a prosthetic left shoulder already. It's 2 years old.
Oh my God.
Wearing out from track and field and lifting weights and then arm wrestling, all the things I competed in.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so the movie itself.
Yes.
Like, how accurate is that to the world of arm wrestling championships?
Like, when I go over, there's a scene at when I come into the movie, I start training Mary's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I go over the rules and everything. And the director said, you know what, just, she had written what she had written. And I said, well, it's kind of a little different. She said, you know what, just go with it and do what I know. And so, like, that was legit. And it was fun because, like, all the jackets that I wore, and there was like trophies and almost like a WWF belt, but it was like all leather. Those, all those things were mine. So that was kind of fun to take those and have them use them. But yeah, but as far as like the competition and stuff that the kids that they mm-hmm. did, there were some competitors when I was competing. Like, there was this one guy who would go up to the table and he'd take an oil can and he'd ram the thing in it and like drink this can of oil. But I don't know if it was real oil, if it was honey, or he'd go up to the table and he'd try to psych out the other person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he went up to the table and he opened his mouth and he had a mouthful of crickets. It was hilarious. And the other guy just about was like, and so, I mean, it was funny. It was silly. Animal was his name he went by, or he always smoked cigars and he'd go up there and a couple times he'd eat it. And it was just like, it makes you want to throw up, but it worked for him.
Yeah.
But yeah. Everybody's
the competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's so much fun. That movie's hilarious.
Well, yeah, our Kristen, who works with us, she mm-hmm. like, she's seen it and she said she thought it was so funny. And she's like, we have to do. Also, she said we have to do a Should Have Been Gay on it. So we have to watch it for Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Should Have Been Gay.
Were there a lot of lesbians in the arm wrestling world?
Honey, you're talking about a time when nobody talked about it. Like my first world title, I was 19. So that was in 83. So, you know.
So it was like, if they were, they weren't going to say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Even you know, listen, we're getting a league of their own now to tell us like the secret queer stories of, you know, like women's professional baseball. Next up, secret queer lives, arm wrestling champions. That's what we need.
Yes.
Amazon, we're looking at
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Right.
To be fair, like lesbians would have very strong arms. Like we need them.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It writes itself, Ellie. It writes itself. Come on.
I just got done binging the all of the episodes of A League of Their Own.
What did you think of the show?
I thought it was pretty good. The girls are hilarious and good and all these stories. And I think one of the coolest things is the other night, Bridget and I were watching the Dodgers And they had, oh my God, they had one of the older ladies, like from, was one of the beaches.
Yeah.
And she was saying, well, and she was saying, shit, it's to a T. It was real.
Yeah.
She said,
yeah,
that's actually
Maybelle. Was it Maybelle?
Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like, yeah.
She
one. She's been.
Is it Victoria Jackson played her in the first one, the blonde, the short blonde hair? Wasn't it Victoria Jackson?
I thought Madonna played her. No.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't seen that one in a while. Yeah.
I need to look this up. Hold on.
I love seeing Rosie. She was a bartender in this
one. I know. The Rosie cameo was awesome.
I love her. Yeah.
That's what I thought. I love Madonna and Rosie in the original.
Yeah, the original series or the original film was amazing. I can't tell you how many times I watched it.
Oh, yeah. I was really hoping for a Gina Davis cameo, but
maybe
if they get a second season.
Season two.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Gina and Lori.
Right. Yeah, I know. I thought, where's Lori Petty? She's going to be on here.
Yep.
Yeah. She's great.
Oh my God. I love that. I really did like the new series though.
More queer shows, more queer movies. This is all we want in life. Yeah. This is it.
Share the wealth, motherfuckers.
Okay, on that note, Ellie, I'm good now. That was it.
That was the perfect quote to end it.
There's the button.
All right, here we go. We're gonna go into our Q&A. So we're gonna ask you a few multiple choice or yes or no questions.
Okay.
We put them on our Twitter for our listeners also, but these are just for you. So here we go.
Q and gay.
Question number one. Were you ever a champion? A, figure skater, B, football player, C, arm wrestler, or D, swimmer?
C.
Arm wrestler.
Yes.
No wrong answers here.
I know, right?
Okay, question two might be a little harder for you to answer, but of course we want to know what you think before we put it up to the listeners. What's your favorite Dot Marie Jones movie or show out of A, Glee, B, Bros, C, Rock of Ages, or D, Golden Arm?
I'd have to say E, all of the above.
There you go. Nice. Good answer. Good secret answer.
secret menu answer.
Yes. Question number three. Have you ever broken a bone? A, yes. B, no. Or C, not my own?
All of the above. I broke my own and other people's.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it we might have already discussed.
That's okay. But. It's okay if we've covered it. We just got to get it on the record.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Question four. What's your favorite kind of movie out of A, rom-com, B, horror, C, drama, or D, action?
God, I love action. And I more than anything, I love comedy. I think my favorite comedy of all time in the past has been Christmas Vacation. I bet you I've watched it 500 times.
Do you watch it all year round or only during Christmas?
Yeah. And of course you bring in the season at Thanksgiving, you know, so you start watching it and then we end up watching it all year round. God, there's so many. I love a lot of different kinds, you know?
Yeah.
There's no wrong answers in Q&A. Okay.
I'm not going to be fired, right?
No. You're good. All right. Question number five, your final question. Do you remember straight people? A, only vaguely. B, they had a good run. Or C, who?
Huh? They had a good run.
They had a good run. Your time is done, straight people. It's time for the gays.
Yes. Share the light.
I love it. Dot, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been
oh my God.
So much
I'm done?
Fun. Well,
you're done as soon as you tell people where can they find you if people want to follow you on all the things?
Okay, on Instagram, Dot Marie Jones. On Twitter, I think it's just Dot Marie, or I'm sorry, Dot Jones. I'm on Facebook under Dot Jones, but I'm never on Facebook, so.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. But
we've given up.
And I mean, we've talked about it through this whole thing, but any projects coming up that you want to tell our listeners about?
I have like another film that is premiering at TIFF. Weird. I have a small part in Weird Al Yankovic movie.
That's amazing. I just saw the trailers for that and I'm so excited.
And can I tell you, I could not love Daniel Radcliffe more than I do.
Good. Listen, that's, I have to tell you, that is great news, because in this, in the year of our Lord 2022, we try not to have too many faves, and especially not men, but like, God, I love Daniel Radcliffe.
He is.
I love him.
He's the cutest little thing you ever saw. And he came, it's funny because he came up to me and he said, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, what? He said, I want to talk to you about arm wrestling. I'm like, you don't even know who I am. He goes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I'm like, come that on. Is
Wait, did he try to arm wrestle you, or he just wanted?
We were standing there and talking, and like we like held hands like we were arm wrestling and stuff, but you know.
Okay. Amazing. I just need him to stay one of the good ones. That's right. All. For he my is. Own He's sanity. A good one. Leave us Daniel Radcliffe universe. That's all I want. Okay?
Yeah. There's another film. It premiered last night at a film festival here in LA. It's called Rattled, and it's an action movie. Bar Fight, which is one I went and saw last night. I went to a screening of, is pretty damn. It was like, I'm very hard on comedies, but there was quite a few laugh out louds.
Nice.
And it was just, and Rachel Bloom's in it, and Luca Jones, and but there, it's a great cast and very funny people.
So you've just got like all the things coming up, like endless. Yeah, you're everything.
Yeah, and I'm bros, trying. We can all see
bros
September 30th.
Yeah,
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Dot. It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me. You guys be safe and take care of each other. And I love y'all.
Thank
Rock
you.
Rock on.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. And so we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we'd like to shout out one of our listeners, Avery, who messaged us to recommend a Les Essentials, which is Owl House. You are correct. And I think because Owl House did end its run now, right?
I think so, yeah.
It's complete. So as many of you know, especially with shows, we do always like to wait to do Les Essentials until it's all finished. And so, yeah, it's on our list. We will try to, you know, get it up in the rotation at some point, but it's on there. It's on there now, Avery. Don't worry.
As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosashino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Leah Henley. Thank you all so much. We could not make the show without you.
Remember, you can find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod so you don't miss those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and everything else is done by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support our little independent team, there are a number of ways you can do that. The first is you can leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new people find the show, and we love reading the reviews.
And if you want to become a part of our Patreon family and join our patron-only Discord chat, get access to Patreon-only bonus episodes, Les Essentials watch parties, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to check out any of our merch, we have all of our designs. You can get them on so many things like tees and tank tops and sweatshirts and I don't even know what, totes, all sorts of stuff. And you can find all of those on our TeePublic at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website at dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can also listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, which I'm sure most of you have already listened to, on any podcasting app.
And don't forget, we are going to be doing The Flame live at 54 Below this Thursday, September 15th. So if you want to get tickets, you can come see us at bit.ly/theflame54. Or if you want to get live stream tickets to watch us from anywhere, bit.ly/theflame54 stream.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.